The lesson today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they'd gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took his child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophets, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he'd learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping with great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hopefully, I'm on, Steve, am I? Okay, not that I really need it, but I'm on. Just before I sort of start, I want to say thank you to Ruth and Scylla for the wonderful candles we have over here, and to Angela, who set up all the candles for the carol service, and I think has been in and taken them all down again. But a really big thank you for doing that, because it really added something to the atmosphere for the carol service. A big thank you for that. So, this passage that Jeremy's just read for us, Jeremy and I, we play games sometimes. We go hunting through the Bible for the things that aren't there. I don't know if you play that game. Clearly, the people who wrote down the stories from the Bible, the things that they saw, couldn't write all the details. And we like to go hunting occasionally for things that aren't there. So, Jeanette's already given one of them away. This passage that we've just read is a bit strange. And we could just do a talk this morning about three wise men, three gifts, and all go home. We're not going to do that. We're going to do something slightly different. So the passage is a bit strange. Jeanette's already hinted, Herod's either very stupid or he's short-staffed. Okay. A whole bunch of blokes that he's never met in his life turn up at his palace looking for a king, and he says, "Why don't you just go away, find him, and come back and tell me where he is?" Now, if he's short-staffed, it's because he couldn't send two people to follow them and find out where they'd gone. If you think about it, it doesn't make sense. There were probably at least 12 wise men, not three, at least 12, maybe more, plus all their entourage, plus all the camels, it wasn't going to be very difficult to find out where they were. I don't think. So why didn't he? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So he's either short-staffed or he's stupid. He's also very nasty. But we're not going to touch on that too much this morning. Did you notice in the story, we've lost a stable. It's disappeared. There's no stable. They turned up at a house. Not a stable. We've lost a baby. There's no baby in this passage. There's a child. I like to ruin things, and I'm so sorry. When you go home and have a look at your Christmas cards, you might find one that's got this picture in it. It's been, what's the phrase? A photo something or other, because it can't possibly have happened. It's false. You can't have shepherds and wise men at a stable, according to the Bible. It just doesn't work. So if you could go and destroy all of these at home because it's theologically unsound, but we know why it's done. It's done to represent the whole Christmas story. But it can't possibly have been true. The wise men, however many there might have been, probably didn't turn up until 2 years after Jesus was born. Come to Pudding Club, you hear all this rubbish there. You know, it's just interesting stuff. But did you also notice there were two supernatural events in this story? We just sort of gloss over them. We just sort of miss them, really. We miss two supernatural events. Did you get them? There are two dreams. God appearing to people in dreams. That's a supernatural event. But there are two different ones, if you notice. There's a one-upmanship being played here. Because the wise men only get a dream. And Joseph gets an angel in his dream. It's a bit different. You know, there are things here that we don't quite see. And when we talk about dreams, we perhaps are reminded of a passage from Joel. That might come up on the screen if... There are links all the way through the Bible. You can pick things out from other passages and find things going on here. When you hear about dreams in this passage in Matthew, there's precedent for it. It features elsewhere. This is a supernatural event. So, look, Jeremy and I, we're old men. We dream dreams. The young men in the room, you should be seeing visions, you know, listening to what God is saying. Supernatural events didn't end. They haven't suddenly stopped, you know. It still goes on. And then this story has a nasty ending, but there are children present, so we're not going to talk too much about nasty endings. But it does have a nasty ending. We'll come back to that passage in a moment. But before we do, I've brought some bags with me. And you're thinking, why has he done that? Hopefully he's going away soon. these bags have been with us on a few trips. These bags here... That they've travelled thousands and thousands of miles, at least 12,000 plus miles, these two bags. They went all the way to Hong Kong and fortunately came back with us. And then they went on to New Zealand. These two bags here, they were great. They kept getting thrown in planes and cars, and they went everywhere with us. And they're going to Canada next year. We're very fortunate to be able to do this, so we're not trying to boast about trips. We're just very fortunate to be able to do it. We bought these two the other day in a shop in Reading. I was trying to knock him down and get it cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and I in the end I thought I got a good deal. These two bags went with us to Prague the other day with our friends, and they're rather good because they're ever so light, and they're the right size to go in the cabin above you. Unless you're on a plane where you can't get all the bags in the cabin and then they put them in the hold, which sort of defeats the object. We managed to get them on board. I wonder what you take with you when you travel. You might take with you the essentials, like a wash bag. You're good, you're here. We need you in a minute. A wash bag, towels, clothes, clean underwear. I thought of this morning. My mother, when she was alive, she used to say crazy things. She used to say, always make sure you've got clean underwear on in case you get hit by a bus. I was thinking, surely she'd be more concerned about me being getting hit by a bus. But anyway, she used to say things like that. So you might put clean clothes in your bag, wash bags, an iPad, a phone, my phone's there. All these modern bits of kit that you might put in your phone. A torch, perhaps. What else? I don't know. You'd put other things in your bag that you take with you on holiday. You're thinking of ideas? Okay. Well, today is the last gathering of 2018. There won't be another one this year. And some of you are looking really pleased. And I think we're travelling from 2018 to 2019. We're on a journey, aren't we? And I wonder what you'll be taking with you. You know, baggage is something that we all carry with us. We're all full of baggage. And we take things with us from 2018 to 2019. And in one of these cases, I hope I've remembered which one, but these days the memory's not as good as it was. In here are some things that it's just very simple. I've got some helpers who are going to come and help me. We'll just take these. Can you just grab one? And you want to stand up there and just hold it up and let people see? You can stand on the platform if you want to. Do you want one? We might need to give you one. Esther, are you going to have one? Okay, stand up there and so that they go further around, go further up. There's just not necessarily in the right order. If anybody else wants another one, you can come and have another one. Gonna help me out? Just hold one up. You might need to hold two. Can you hold two? You can come and help. Yeah, there's another one in here. There's lots of these in here. You wanna have another one? Okay, you can have another one. There aren't many more. You got that one. Right, hold them up then. Hold them up high. Can you hold that one up? Yeah, that's important, that one. Okay. Yeah, that one's really important. Right, hold them up high. Up on the screen, you can see these coming up as well. Don't get too far ahead. You've been reading the script. There's just a few things here. Look, this is the sort of baggage that perhaps we might carry with us. It's not all bad, you know. Joy is a thing that we carry with us. Perhaps during 2018, there were some great moments that you had. And you're remembering those, and you're carrying those with you. But some of these other things you might be carrying with you. You know, the anger, the sadness, the challenge, the hurt, the fear. For 2018, for us, was an incredibly challenging year for lots of different reasons, which we're not going to go into. And I know a lot of you here. You know, 2018 wasn't the best of years. It's been difficult. But for others, you've had a joyous time and you've had success. There's a blank one here. Mainly because you can't list out all the things that people are carrying. Thank you. You could write your own on here, couldn't you? Your own baggage, you could write on this one. That's what it's there for. Okay, thanks guys. You can throw them back in the case. That'd be rather good. Thank you for your help. Thank you. That's good. You're going to shut the case for me? Well done. In that Bible passage that Jeremy read. In my Bible, it says, escape to Egypt. I don't think when Matthew wrote it, he wrote, escape to Egypt, and then carried on writing. Or flight to Egypt, And good job it wasn't flight to Egypt, because I expect all the planes have been grounded. Or the drones have got them, one or the other. But it says escape to Egypt. Now look, I know that it was an escape. And I know that in verse 13, the angel says escape, all right? So I'm not trying to change what the Bible tells us. But was it really an escape? Or was it an intentional journey? You think about that for a moment. Were they really escaping, or was it an intentional journey? Were they running away from something, or journeying to something? And the answer we find in the next verse, actually, in verse 14, you can see. It says, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Now that's a quote from the Old Testament, and it's a quote from the prophet Hosea. Look that one up later. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. It was an intentional journey. They needed to go to Egypt. It wasn't, we must run away from everything and get out of here. Yes, they needed to do that, but that wasn't really the purpose. The purpose was they needed to get to Egypt. And here's the question, as we are at the last Sunday in 2018. Are you escaping from 2018? Or are you journeying to 2019? Are you taking with you unnecessary baggage? We all carry baggage with us. But if we keep carrying the unnecessary stuff, the things that we don't need to in our Christian lives, it just gets in the way. I was going to load somebody up with all these bags this morning and see what it was like to sort of carry and walk. We're not going to do that. But you can. It would have been fun, wouldn't it? It would have been fun. But you can end up carrying with you all sorts of stuff that just get in the way of our relationship with God. And so the question is this morning, are you on an intentional journey? And if you're on an intentional journey, it's a journey that takes us closer to what God would have in store for each one of us. But to do that, we need to lay down the unnecessary stuff that's getting in the way. And there's lots of it. We just need to put it to one side. We saw some of it on the screen. And there'll be other things. We need to lay it down. You know, as a church, early next year we're starting a discipleship course. Lots of people think that discipleship courses or series or whatever we're going to call it, that's for new Christians, people who are only just starting out in their Christian life, and the rest of us, we're fine. Trust me, we're not fine, okay? Discipleship is something for all of us. And I hope, and the rest of the leaders hope, and Keith and everybody else, that we're all going to join into this and start learning a bit more about what it really means to be a disciple. And that means laying down some of this baggage that we carry, because we can't be a disciple that God really wants us to be if we're carrying unnecessary stuff with us. I would encourage you all to watch out for the dates, get into a group, and let's as a church and as a family together journey through 2019 in an intentional way, and getting rid of the stuff that's getting in the way. There's other opportunities. There's a baptismal service here next Sunday. That's an intentional step that someone has decided to take. Chrissy is going to be baptized here next Sunday. Let's as a family join together and experience that. It's part of our intentional journey as we get closer and closer to what it is that God would have in store for us. And then there's open house opportunities. You've got some cards there. That's so that the church family can get together and enjoy itself on its own. No, it's not. It's called open house. It's an opportunity for you to bring other people to a bacon bap and a cup of coffee on a Saturday morning. It's not a full cafe. It's just an opportunity for us to be a bit more intentional about our community and the people that are outside the church here. 2018, I don't know what it was like for you. Maybe it was brilliant. I'm sure it had its moments. In our Christian lives, what was 2018 like for us? And are we on an intentional journey? Just like Mary and Joseph and Jesus were, they needed to leave Bethlehem. If they hadn't have left Bethlehem, then God's intentions would not have been fulfilled. I think that's the message this morning. As we go into 2019, go into it intentionally and wait and see what God's got in store for us.
Let's just spend some time in prayer together.